It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, dozens of school districts around the state, including Milwaukee Public Schools, will ask voters for more money through referendums in the April election. We examine why nearly a quarter of Wisconsin school districts are seeking hundreds of millions of dollars and asking for voters for approval to exceed state revenue limits. Call in with a question. You can share comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Rob Henken is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. That's a statewide, nonpartisan, independent policy research organization. Rob, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me.
Your organization examines this April referendum where Milwaukee Public Schools is asking to exceed the state's revenue limit by up to $252 million phased in over 4 years. Why is the district seeking more money?
Well, it's a short question, but a lengthy answer. But let me see if I can trim it down a little bit.
We're in it.
Fundamentally, and the reason that we are seeing so many school districts throughout the state, there are actually 91 referendum questions affecting school districts on the ballot in April statewide. And what we, a main cause of this is the fact that the amount of money that school districts can raise via the property tax and their main form of state aid combined is capped by so-called state revenue limits. And year after year, or actually every 2 years as part of the state budget, determinations are made as to whether those revenue limits will go up, stay the same, match inflation, et cetera. There's no question that over the past decade and more, those revenue limits in terms of the increases in the revenue limits allowed for school districts have not kept pace with inflation. And that has been particularly problematic in the last 2 or 3 years as the rate of inflation has been particularly high. So we find NPS, as well as several other school districts, really struggling to keep up in terms of being able to compete in a very competitive labor market, which requires minimally providing cost of living pay adjustments for teachers, other costs related to school buildings and construction, certainly higher than they used to be. And so you put all of that together, and districts feel like they need to exceed those caps in order not to have to cut staff and reduce the quality of their educational programming.
So, but, you know, isn't it plausible that a steady and reliable increase in the revenue limit is necessary for a school district like Milwaukee, you know, to keep up with the increased costs of educating its students?
So I think that certainly a case can be made. There's one other side to the equation, however, and that is that a very key factor. So it's not only what the legislature does every 2 years as part of the budget, but there's a formula that determines the revenue limit amount for individual districts. Mm-hmm. And a very key part of that formula is school enrollment. So if you look at the Milwaukee Public Schools, we've documented, there's no question that the purchasing power of those revenue limit dollars has fallen dramatically. If the 2004 total for MPS would have been $1.3 billion if adjusted for inflation, their actual total in 2024 is about $900 million. Mm-hmm. So clearly not keeping pace. But at the same time, MPS's enrollment has dropped by about 32%. And so there is a question there. While clearly any government or school district should be able to expect revenues that grow minimally at the pace of inflation, when enrollment is dropping, there's also an opportunity to cut some costs. Now, the problem there is that that opportunity is not always proportionate with the drop in the dollars available.
So declining student enrollment does complicate the formula there. Rob Henken is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum as we talk about Milwaukee Public Schools and school referendums across Wisconsin. Call in with a question. You can share your comments, 800-642-1234. Rob, you know, how much would an approved referendum like this one affect taxpayers in Milwaukee?
Well, I think that's really a big part of the issue here in Milwaukee is that, my sense is that if asking for more money is not as much the issue as how much more money they're actually asking for. So as you said, the referendum would provide up to $252 million above the cap that's phased in over 4 years. So that would gradually increase. But the cost on a the owner of a $200,000 property in Milwaukee that first year would be about $432 per, and that's per figures provided by MPS. One piece of good news that is often overlooked is that that $252 million would not only come from property taxpayers. So as a result of the district being able to spend more, that would positively impact their allocation under the revenue limit formula. So roughly $140 million or so of that $252 million would be from the property tax.
What, like, would a district be penalized in some way if they would exceed their, like, maximum allowable revenue without going to referendum?
Yes, that is a violation of state law. So these caps are essentially in state statute as part of the state budget. And so and you know, we focus on this money. Again, it's a lot of money for MPS, $900 million from the combined property taxes and state aids are about 90% of the district's budget for school operations. But there are other sources of revenue as well, particularly sources from the federal government that are directed toward districts with lots of disadvantaged students in terms of special needs and socioeconomic disadvantages. But yes, this form of money is this combined amount that is capped by the revenue limit is the most vital source of revenue, and these districts cannot exceed it without asking voters for permission.
Are these referendums, I mean, you mentioned the federal government, are these referendums in any way tied to a potential funding cliff, like coming with the end of pandemic era funding, like the ESSER money?
Absolutely. So I think that's another reason, not just the high rate of inflation. And I should mention, there were increases in the revenue limits of $325 per student in each year of the current 2 year budget. But another factor is that these federal pandemic relief dollars that have really been a lifesaver for many districts for the past 2, 3, 4 years, those need to be obligated by September of this year. So those dollars go away. Now, in an ideal world, districts would have been spending those dollars to deal with impacts of the pandemic that were hopefully one time in
One
nature and
time.
that are alleviating on things like facilities, where if you use the money to upgrade your facilities, you're not going to create a hole in the next year's budget because those facilities will already be upgraded. So to the extent that districts have used those dollars for one-time purposes, the loss of the dollars should not be as harmful. But I think that there are many districts that really had little choice but to plug at least some of these dollars into supporting their regular teacher workforce, for example. In the case of MPS, not only has that happened to a small extent, but the district has also used those dollars to support other specialized positions that it wanted to keep going. And so part of the referendum is really not just about maintaining the existing workforce and programs that are supported by the revenue limit dollars, but also filling some holes that will be created when those federal dollars go away.
We discussed school budget shortfalls, districts asking voters for additional money on the spring election ballot. Rob Henkin is here, president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, as we examine trends in school referenda, especially Milwaukee public schools. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts along the way at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Milwaukee Public Schools is one of about 100 districts that will ask voters in the spring election to increase their funding and attempt to close budget gaps amid inflation, as we've been talking about. Wisconsin Policy Forum is examining the case for referendums. It's President Rob Henkin with us. Be part of the conversation about school funding. Call in with a question. You can add your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Rob, your organization reports a groundswell of school referendums in the state over the past decade. Can you explain a bit historically why are more school districts turning to referendums to fund their schools?
So, first of all, you have to look at the different types of referendums. And so I think an important distinction here is districts that are going to voters for permission to do major rehabilitation of school buildings, including potential upgrades to school athletic facilities and so forth, versus so-called operating referenda, which involve being able to, on an ongoing basis, exceed those state-imposed revenue limits. Starting with the operating referendum, really, again, it is the fact that over time, for a variety of different reasons, these revenue limits that have been put in place to try to control the impacts on property taxpayers, those have not tended to increase at the pace of inflation. And so districts find themselves having to make very difficult decisions. The amount of dollars that they can generate under these limits typically comprise by far the most sizable share of their school operations budgets. And so when those dollars just are not growing with inflation, and when there is a need, particularly in an historically tight labor market, to be wary of that and to minimally provide cost of living salary and benefit adjustments to teachers, if you want to do that and your revenues are not growing at a pace that will allow you to do it, then you may need to look at having fewer teachers. And fewer teachers obviously can have impacts in the classroom. And so you really have to go district by district, Kate. I mean, each one has an individual story. And again, typically roughly a third to half have been these building referenda. And, we have old infrastructure and buildings do fall apart. And, these big school buildings reach a point at times where it's more cost effective to essentially just tear it down and build a new one than to try to keep on fixing it. And so when that happens, that's obviously quite expensive. The other thing we're seeing, of course, is the construction costs have gone up in recent years. And so all of those factors have converged for several districts. And we're seeing referenda in wealthier districts and poorer districts, in urban districts and in rural districts. It's really been pretty uniform across the state.
Across the board there. Let's take a call. Casey in Juneau County is with us. Casey, hi.
Hi. So several years ago, when interest rates were really low, we had a referendum. We got a new elementary school out of it and a bunch of remodels for our school district. And that was an easy yes because of the interest rates. And here we are again. We are having another referendum on the ballot. But last year or the year before, I think it was last year, they re-evaluated everybody's property taxes, and ours went up substantially, which in my mind would then give the school districts more money. But here they are asking for money again. So maybe I'm just not understanding the exact formula when it comes to that. But in my mind, because my property taxes are going up already, they would be getting more money.
Casey, thank you. Rob, can you explain a bit about that formula and the reassessment?
Yes. So the reassessments really, so if when your property is reassessed, and no question, property values across the state of Wisconsin are going up, and that's a good thing for the economy, not as good for your property tax bill, potentially. But essentially, that doesn't create more money for the government because the levy amount is still capped. So when people's assessed value changes, it sort of redistributes the money. It lowers the rate for everybody. So if you're fortunate enough not to have had your property reassessed in a given year, your neighbors who maybe did have their property values go up would end up paying more. That's one of the catches, and it's a great question because it's commonly misunderstood, is that as property values increase, it doesn't necessarily mean that the amount of property tax levy that local governments and school districts are able to make as part of their annual budgets, that those levy collections are going up, because typically those levy amounts are capped in the case of school districts by these revenue limits, which actually caps the combined amount of state aids and levy. And in the case of local governments, there's a cap on the amount of levy that can be raised by local governments.
Casey, thank you for that call. Casey, they're seeing it on the ballot. Historically, how often do Wisconsin voters support these school referendums?
We had found up until the last set of elections last year that the percentage was really pretty high, and typically in the 60 to 80% range. We have other members of our staff who are better experts than I am on the statewide referenda, so don't take those numbers verbatim. But certainly pretty high levels of support. We saw that drop in 2023 in the last round of referenda, still around 50%. I know in February, so we have again 91 referenda across the state coming up in April. This past February for the primary elections, we had 10, and in the Southeast Wisconsin region, I believe there were four, and each of them were defeated. So I think your caller's question is really indicative, perhaps, of what many people are feeling. They want to support their school districts, but these levy amounts are growing and home values are growing, and people are seeing the increase in their property taxes. We also every year take a look at the property taxes that are levied statewide, and we expected to see, because of not only levy limits, but also the fact that for local governments, there was an increase in the shared revenue program for the first time in decades, that maybe the growth in property taxes would slow down, but it was still well over 3% statewide.
Rob Henkin with us, president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, as we discuss school referendums, specifically Milwaukee Public Schools. Call in questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Rob, turning to special education funding, among the largest school districts in the state, Milwaukee serves the highest percentage of students from economically disadvantaged backgrounds. How does serving more students from low-income families affect the district's needs?
It's a great question, Kate, and I'm really glad you brought it up because that's one other big part of the equation here that we have not discussed. So school districts, all public school districts have certain mandates from the federal and state government that they must follow in terms of educating students with special needs. And there's no question that it is more expensive to educate students who have special needs. There's also been research finding that it costs more to educate students who have a whole variety of disadvantages, socioeconomic disadvantages, et cetera. So for a school district like the Milwaukee Public Schools, which has a very high proportion of socioeconomically disadvantaged students, there are clearly higher costs. Now, there is a form of special state categorical aid that helps districts pay for these extra costs associated with special education. And there has been a lot of discussion in Madison over the past several years about the need to increase that pool of money. Essentially, what has happened is that the costs there have risen faster than the state has been able to increase the dollars available for special education. So that right now, school districts in state law, the goal is to have roughly 30% of those costs for special education reimbursed. But that is far lower than, say, 2 decades ago when more than half of those costs were covered with state aid.
In our final moments together, state lawmakers might say, look, the state has a commitment to fund two-thirds of the cost of public schools. We're doing it. What are school districts seeking from state lawmakers at this point?
Well, I think number one, greater elasticity in those revenue limits. I mentioned the $325 per student that is happening both in this school year and in the next school year. That's obviously going to help, but the Legislative Fiscal Bureau has found that even with those increases, if you look back over the past several years, those revenue limits still have lagged inflation. Certainly more special education funding is something that school districts across the state have been pushing for. When they are not getting reimbursed at traditional levels for those costs, it means that they have to take their general monies available for all students and use those to serve students with special needs.
Rob, thank you for joining us.
There's a lot of agreement.
Oh,
The
Rob,
problem.
thank you for joining us. Rob Henkin is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.